Hello and welcome back. My name is Avi Heller and together we're learning Masechet Megillah. These recordings are a joint project of the OU Department of Synagogue Services, OU Torah, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. We are on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Bet. That's 13b. Before we start, just one quick correction from our last recording. We had quoted a verse that with a scoundrel, you should act like a scoundrel to outwit him. And I had mentioned that was from Shirat Chana, but that's not true. It's at the very end of Shmuel, and it is Shirat David. It's the song that David sings where that's mentioned. Okay, we are on the third wide line towards the end of the line, and we're continuing to explicate and give drushas for all the verses of the Megillah. So we are now at the part where Bigtan and Teresh try to assassinate Ahasuerus, and Mordechai finds out about the plot and saves the king's life. So the Megillah says, "Bayamim ahem, in those days, Mordechai yoshev b'shar hamelech, Mordechai was sitting in the court of the king, in the gate of the king. Katzaf Bigtan v'Teresh. Bigtan and Teresh got angry at King Ahasuerus. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Hikzif HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adon al Avadav Lasot Ritzon Tzadik. One time Hashem made a master get angry at his servants in order to do the will of a righteous man. Umanu, who was this? Yosef. This is the story of Joseph. Shenemar Visham Itanu Na'ar Ivri Vigomer, etc., etc. In other words, the idea is that the only reason that Hashem made Paro angry at the Sar HaMashkim and the Sar HaOfim, the butler and the baker, was so that they should be thrown into jail, and then Yosef should interpret their dreams, and by interpreting their dreams should become known as a dream interpreter, and then Paro brought him out of jail to interpret his dreams, and he rose up to become the leader of Egypt, and then he was able to save his brothers, etc., etc. But in other words, Hashem is the one who made Paro angry at his servants so that it would help out Yosef. So, and the other hand, Avadim al Adonehen, Hashem also made servants angry at their master, La'asot Neis Latzadik, in order to do a miracle for a righteous man. Umanu, who was this? Mordechai. This is the story of Mordechai. Dichti vayivada hadavar leMordechai veGomer. And the matter became known to Mordechai, etc. In other words, in this case, Hashem made Bigtan and Teresh angry at Ahasuerus, so they would try to kill him. Mordechai would save the day. He would be written in the Book of Chronicles as the one who saved the king's life, which later on would help him overthrow Haman. So in one case, Hashem made the master angry at the servant, and in one case, the servant angry at the master. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, Bigtan v'Teresh, these two would-be assassins, Bigtan and Teresh, Shnei Tarsiyim havu, they were Tarsian, which maybe is the same Tarsus as the time of Jesus, Paul of Tarsus. And they spoke in the Tarsian language, which was apparently a rare language, and they had reasonable expectations that no one else understood what they were saying. The Omrim, what they said is, Miyom Shebat Zu, from the time that this one has come, by which they mean Queen Esther, Lo Ra'inu Shena Be'eninu, we have not had any sleep in our eyes. In other words, she is disturbing our sleep. Rashi says that Ahasuerus was so sexually enamored of her that he kind of stayed up all night with her, and that he was constantly asking them to go get him water because he was so parched from his exertions. Bovenatil eres besefel, let's throw poison in his cup. Kideshiyamud, in order that he'll kill him. It's a strange setup. They're angry that the king is having such a good time with the queen, and that that they can't be as lazy as they would like to be in their jobs. So they decide they're going to kill the king. You would think they would have more serious concerns than that, but maybe that's how it is when you are a dumb Parsian bodyguard. Behein lo ayu yodin, but they did not know, ki Mordechai miyoshve lishkat hagazid, that Mordechai was among the members of the chamber of hewn stone, that is, one of the members of the Sanhedrin from the Beit HaMikdash. Vehaya yodea b'shivim lashon, and in order to be a member of the Sanhedrin, you had to learn all the languages of the world. So he had learned all 70 languages of the world, and including Tarsian, so he knew what they were saying. And he understood their plot. Amarlo, one said to the other, let's say Bigtan said to Teresh, Vahalo ein mishmarti umishmartcha shaveh. We have different watches. I watch this doorway, you watch that doorway, we have slightly different times. So Amarlo, the other one said to him, Ani eshmor mishmarti umishmartcha. I will watch my watch and your watch while you go do the deed and put the poison in his cup. Vahainu dichtiv, and that's what's written, Vayivukash hadavar vayimatzeh, the matter was investigated and found out because Mordechai heard them and what they were saying, and he alerted someone to go check to see if the guards were at their posts, and lo and behold, they were not. Shalonim tzu b'mishmartan, they were not found in their proper places. Okay, so achar hadvarim ha'ela, after these things, meaning after Bigtan and Teresh, you would think that the next thing that would happen would actually be good. That's what you would expect, is that the next thing that would happen would be good. But the truth is that the next thing that happens in the story is that Haman is lifted up. So that's strange, that right after Mordechai saves the king's life, Haman would be lifted up to become the second in command. Amar Rava, Achar Shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Refua Lemaka. Hashem is always careful for the Jewish people to create the cure before he creates the affliction. So the story of Bigtan and Teresh is the cure for Mordechai. It's what's going to make him beloved of the king. And then only after the cure is set in place does the Makkah come and Haman is lifted up. You could also argue, and the Marsha says, that that the death of Vashti was also a refuah because it made way for Esther to become the queen before Haman was raised up. So in fact, everything that happens in the first couple chapters is Hashem's way of foreshadowing the eventual saving of the Jews before Haman gets lifted up. The Amar Reish Lakish, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Maket Yisrael, the Holy One does not strike Israel, Ela Im Kain, that's the abbreviation in the middle of the line, Aleph Aleph Kaf, Ela Im Kain, unless, Borei Lahem Refuat Chila, unless he creates the cure first. Shenemar, as it says, this is a quotation from the verse at the very beginning of Hosea chapter 7, Karafili Yisrael, when I heal Israel, v'nigla, only then do I reveal Avon Ephraim, the sin of Ephraim. So the sin of Ephraim is only revealed after the healing is already in place. Aval umot olam, but the nations of the world, ain no Cain, it is not like this. Makeotan, Hashem will strike them first, v'achar kach borei lahem refuah, and only afterwards will he create the cure. Shenemar, as it says, this is in Yeshayahu chapter 19, verse 22, Yud Tet Perak Yud Tet Pasuk Chav Bet, V'nagaf Hashem Mitzrayim, Hashem struck Mitzrayim with a plague, Nagof V'rafo, first he struck them and then he healed them. In other words, he doesn't necessarily create the healing before the affliction. Out of his special love for the Jewish people, he does it in the reverse order. Now we skip ahead a little bit. After Haman gets raised up and he sees that Mordechai is not bowing down to him, The next verse that the Megillah explicates is already after that happens. And I'm now underneath the Tosfot, which is in the middle of the page. There's only one Tosfot there. We are 2, 4, 6 lines down from that Tosfot. Right in the middle of the line, about 5 or 6 words in. Vayivez be'enav lishlach yad b'mordechai levado. Haman despised the idea of only taking vengeance on Mordechai. He didn't want to just punish Mordechai as an individual. Amar Rava, Rava said, Batchila b'Mordechai levado. In the beginning, he was only angry at Mordechai. V'lebasov be'am Mordechai. And then later on, he was angry at Mordechai's people. Umanu, who are Mordechai's people. Rabbanan, all the rabbis, because Mordechai is one of the men of the Great Assembly or a member of the Sanhedrin. So he got mad at all the rabbis. V'lebasov, and then after that, b'chol ha'yudim, all the Jews. So it was a process in which at first Haman may have only been upset at Mordechai, but then he expanded his scope. So what does Haman do? He creates a lottery. He creates a pur. And that's the next verse that the Gemara explicates. He peel pur huagural. He threw down the lot, which is a kind of a lottery, a game of chance. Tana, we have a teaching. Kevan shenafal pur b'chodesh Adar, when Haman cast the lots and it came out that it was going to be on the month of Adar, sameach simcha gdola, he had a big simcha. Now, to me, the pshat on this is completely different. I don't know which order he did it in, if he did it in the days first or the months first. Let's assume that he did it in the months first. If he did it in the month of Adar, that's the furthest possible month away, meaning he was casting these lots in Nisan. He would have wanted it to come out Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, some month that was pretty close so that he could go kill the Jews right away. By having the lot fall out on Adar, it's a full year away almost. I don't know why he would be so happy about that. On the other hand, if he did the days first and it fell out on the 13th of Adar, the 13th, he might have been happy about that because that was like a week away, and he thought, if it falls out on the 13th of Nisan, I can go kill the Jews right away. But the Gemara has a different approach. It says that the reason he was so happy, Amar, he said, Nafal lipur b'yerach shemeit bo Moshe. The lottery has fallen out on the month that Moshe died, in Adar. That seems like a fortuitous sign that it's a bad month for the Jews. V'lo haya yodea, but he did not know, shebishiv'a b'adar meit, that not only did Moshe die on the 7th of Adar, ubishiv'a b'adar nolad, but he was also born on the 7th of Adar. Moshe was born and died on the same date. Now, one possible reason why he didn't know this is that it is possible from the psukim to figure out when Moshe died. But you need the Torah Shebaal Peh, you need the rabbi's interpretation of the verse at the end of Dvarim that Rashi quotes, that he says, Ben me'a ve'esrim shana anochi ayom, that I am 120 years old today, that means that he was exactly 120 years old and he died on the day that he was born. So since Haman only looked at the Torah Shebichtav and he didn't have a good teacher of Torah Shebaal Peh, he did not know that Moshe was also born in the month of Adar, which makes it a fortuitous month for the Jews. Okay, the next line that the Gemara explains is what Haman says to Ahasuerus. He goes to Ahasuerus with a plan to kill the Jews, and he's not sure if Ahasuerus will agree or not, so he prepares a whole speech. So that what he says is, Yeshno am echad, there is one people. Amar Rava says, Leka diyada lishna bisha kehaman. There was no one who knew how to create evil speech like Haman. In other words, Haman was the world's best salesman of wickedness, and he knew exactly how to play Ahasuerus. So the Gemara is going to sort of explain how each word that Haman said defused another objection that Ahasuerus might have to agreeing to his plan. Amar lei, he said to Ahasuerus, he said to him, Ta nichlinu, let's go kill them. Amar lei, Ahasuerus responds to Haman, Mistafina me'elohav, I am afraid of their God. In other words, I'm totally happy to kill the Jews. I'm right with you, but I'm afraid of their God. Delo li avid bi, I don't want him to do to me, kid'avad bikamai, like those who came before me. As we learned earlier in the Masechta, Ahasuerus had seen how Hashem had taken down Nebuchadnezzar, and taking down Belshazzar, who thought that he knew when the 70 years of the exile were over and was wrong. And Ahasuerus was trying to be careful not to get killed by Hashem the same way that the previous kings were killed. So he didn't want to kill the Jews. Amar lei, so Haman says to him, Yashnu min ha-mitzvot. Now, the way this is translated in the Art Scroll is they are asleep from the mitzvot. In other words, the Jewish people are asleep at the wheel. They are not doing the mitzvot, and therefore Hashem will not be protecting them. I don't know how you know if that's the word yeshno or not. Maybe it's related to the word yashan. They have treated the mitzvot as if they are old now. I'm not sure what the right interpretation is. Maybe there is one answer, but I am not sure what it is. Okay, in any case, he says to him that the way that Gemara understands it is the word yeshno, Al-Machad, is that this people are not going to be protected by Hashem because they're not doing the mitzvot. Amar Le, he said to him, so Achashverosh said back to him, Itbehu Rabbanan, but wait, there are rabbis. They have some holy people who are doing the mitzvot. Amar Lei, so Haman says back to him, Am Echad Hain. That's just one, that's just a few people. They're not, it's not so much, and since most of them are sinners, they're not going to be protected. Shema Tomar, perhaps you will say, Karcha ani oseh b'malchutecha, that by killing the Jews, I'm going to create a bald spot in your kingdom. You know, you're going to have this populate, I'm going to kill all the accountants, or I'll kill all the people in one neighborhood, and you'll have a depopulated zone in the middle of your kingdom. So he says, no, don't worry about that. Mifuzarin heim ben hamim. They are scattered all over your country. So even if I kill them, it'll just thin them out a little. There won't be any bald spots. Shema tomar, perhaps you will say, itz hana minayu, but I get pleasure from them, meaning they pay taxes and they help the economy and they help the culture, whatever it is. So like, why do I want to kill all these people? It'll hurt my kingdom. So he says, miforad. Now, miforad in pshat means it's similar to they are scattered. They are scattered and set apart from the rest of the people. But the Gemara understands it's kipreda zu, like a donkey. She'ena oseh peirot. A donkey is a sterile creature. It's created, by two other animals, but the donkey itself, the mule, cannot procreate. So it doesn't make peirot. You don't get any benefit from them. Shveshema tomar. Perhaps you'll say, Ika midinta minayhu. Maybe there is one whole Jewish state, which is a strange thing to say because there obviously wasn't at that time. But maybe there's one area where a whole bunch of Jews live, and if I kill them, it'll clear out that area. This is pretty similar to the argument about a bald spot earlier. Maybe the difference is that you're talking about a specific neighborhood that's run by the Jews, not just where there's a lot of Jewish population. Talmud Lomar comes to teach us, Bichol Medinot Malchutecha, they're found in all of the kingdoms, in all of the areas of your kingdom. There isn't one area that all the Jews are, that if you kill them, that area will be depopulated. Vidatehem Shonot Mikol Am, and their religion is different from all the rest of the people. So Haman says, Dolo Achli Minan, they don't like to eat with us, they don't eat our food. Velo Nasbi Minan, and they won't get married to us. Velo Minsabilan, and they won't let us get married to them. So they, their religion sets them apart from us. And they don't do the religion of the king. So Haman says, and this is a famous argument of anti-Semites everywhere, Demafki lekule shata, they go out all the time and they say b'shehi pehi. And that's what they say all the time, shehi pehi. So what is shehi pehi? Rashi explains, they say Shabbat hayom Lashem. Today is Shabbos, Shabbat hayom, or Pesach hayom. They're always saying that they have this Shabbos, this Yontif, they can't do work today. He says that they're really lazy Jews. They always have some holy day that's not, that's some crazy holy day where they can't do work. Vila melech ein shove lahanicham, and it is not worth it for the king to keep them. Because they eat and they drink and they despise the kingship. How do they despise the kingship? Vafilu nofel zvuv bekoso shel echad mehen. Let's say a fly falls into the cup of one of them. Zorko, he gets rid of the fly. Vishoteu, and then he drinks his wine. And this, by the way, is the halacha related to a fly, which is not kosher. Let's assume that these are religious Jews. You can, generally speaking, if it's, depending on the ratio of the wine to the fly, and if you remove the body and the tom for a disgusting matter, you probably could just scoop out some wine in the fly and continue to drink the wine. I don't know if you would. I probably wouldn't. But this is what he says they're doing. Vim adunia melech nogea bekoso shel achad mehen. But if my master, the king, will touch the cup of wine of one of them, chov to bekarka ve'eno shoteo, they'll throw it down on the ground. And they won't drink it, which is true, because it would be a non-Jew touching the cup of wine. He's assuming that they would be keeping the laws of Stam Yenam or Yain Nesach, and they wouldn't drink wine that was handled by a non-Jew. Again, that would be assuming that they were religious, which Haman was assuming they were not earlier, but he could be talking out of both sides of his mouth as well. So then finally Haman says, Im ala melech tov yikatev labdam. If it's good to the king, let it be written to destroy them. Va'aseret alafim kikar kesef, and 10,000 talents of silver will be deposited, v'gomer will be deposited into the king's treasury, so I'll even pay you for the privilege of helping me kill all your Jews. Amar Rish Lakish said, Galui v'yadua lifnei mi she'amar v'haya ha'ulam. It was obvious and known before he who spoke and created the world. That's Hashem. So it's a fancy way of saying Hashem knew from the beginning. She'atid Haman lishkol shkalim al Yisrael. That Haman would offer to pay Ahasuerus with shekels for the Jewish people. Lefikach, therefore, hikdim shiklehem lishiklav. He therefore preempted Haman's shekels with their own shekels. Vahainu ditnan, as it is written in the Mishnah in Shkalim, be'echad be'adar, on the first of Adar, mashmin ala shkalim v'ala kilayim. They make the announcement that everybody should get ready to give in their half shekels, and also that they should go out to their fields and make sure that they have no kilayim, which were forbiddenly crossbred plants. But the point is that already on the first of Adar, we give in our shekels, which countermand the effect of Haman shekels. Tosfot coming up, I think on Tet Vav or Tet Zayin, has a short comment where he argues that if you count the number of Jews that came out of Mitzrayim and you have a half shekel and how much silver it was for 10,000 talents of silver, that the two amounts equal. But I don't know if that is true or not, but that's what Tosfot suggests. Tosfot also suggests here on Ardaf a gematria. He says that the word hakesef, the money that Haman was offering to destroy the Jews, and ha'etz, the tree that Haman was originally held on, have the same gematria. So it was because of the money that Haman offered to kill the Jews that he was eventually hung on the tree. Okay, we're on the last line of Yud Gimel Amud Bet. Vayomer HaMelech leHaman. The Megillah goes on and says, the king said to Haman, HaKesef Natun Lach. The money is given to you. In other words, you don't have to pay me. I'll return your money. VeHa'am, and the people, LaAsot Bo Katov BeInecha. You can do whatever you want with them. As is good in your eyes, you can do with them. Amar Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba said, we're at the top of Yud Dalet Amar Aleph, first word, Mashal de Achashverosh veHaman. Let me give you a parable of how this worked between Ahasuerus and Haman. Lema hadavar domeh. What is the matter similar to? Lishnei, this is the second line now. Lishnei bnei adam, two people. Le'echad haya lo tel b'toch sadeh. One of them had a pile of dirt in his field that he wanted to get rid of. Ule'echad haya lo charitz b'toch sadeh. And another guy had a ditch in his field that he wanted to get rid of. Bal Charitz Amar, the owner of the ditch, said, Mi tein li tel ze bidamim. Give me your mound of dirt. I'll pay for it because I need to fill in my ditch. Bal Hatel Amar, in the meantime, the guy who had the mound was saying, Mi tein li charitz ze bidamim. He was basically saying, I wish I had a ditch. I'd pay good money for a ditch that I could put all this dirt in. Or maybe he was saying, I mean, presumably what he was saying is, take the dirt and put it in your ditch, and then I won't need it anymore, and I'd be happy to pay you to take my dirt and get it off my property. Liamim, eventually, you know, they didn't have an online market. Nizdavguze etalze, the two of them got matched up with each other. Amar lo bal hacharitz lo bal hatel, the owner of the ditch said to the owner of the mound, Mechor li tilech, sell me your mound of dirt and I'll put it in my ditch. Amar lo tulata bechinam. So then the owner of the mound said, you know what? Take it for free. Vahalavai. It'll be good enough. Like, I've been waiting to get rid of this dirt forever. I don't even care about the money. You know, sometimes this happens at the very end of like a yard sale or a house sale. Somebody's moving the next day. They're like, just take it. But the truth is that it served both their needs. The guy with the ditch needed dirt, and the guy with the extra dirt needed to get rid of it. So the two of them were matched perfectly. And the same thing is true of Haman and Ahasuerosh, according to the Gemara. In the end of the day, Ahasuerosh was no friend of the Jews. He wanted to get rid of the Jews also. He might not have been as meshuga about it as Haman was, but when Haman came along and gave him an opportunity to fill his ditch with the extra dirt that he had, they were perfectly aligned, and they were happy to do each other a favor. It served both their needs. This, in a way, equates Ahasuerosh with Haman to say that even though their attitudes and styles were different, both of them were equally as happy to annihilate the Jews. We'll stop here and continue in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.